We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, he did a great job today, but it's the guys up front, you know, the five plus the tight end, whoever's in there. And like I said, they did a great job of establishing it early, and we got to continue to finish these runs. And Devin did a good job today, and I feel like he's only going to grow and only going to get better. I think this is, his fourth or fifth game in action, and he's doing some really good things for us, and we're going to continue to use him.
The snap. Josh going to throw it. Screen pass caught by the motor. Got good blocks in front, across the 20, up across the 25, across the 30. Still on his feet at the 40. Now he's at midfield, into Washington territory, and cut down at the Washington 38-yard line. What a run after the catch by the motor.
Good to have him back healthy. Give credit to the offensive line as well. It's never just one guy, and Devin made some real good runs in there, reading his blocks, and thought the game plan was a good game plan put together by our coaching staff, Brian Dable and his staff. Yeah, it's never just one guy, but it was good to get Devin going for sure.
We had Josh Allen there. We had a call by John Murphy on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Then we had Sean McDermott. All on Devin Singletary, certainly one of the outstanding performers of the game yesterday, in which the Bills won against the Washington Redskins 24-9. I was wrong. I'll admit it. I was wrong. I predicted 24-10. I was wrong by a point. I did. Go back and listen to the pregame show, roundtable. I said 24-10 Bills. They won 24-9. I didn't win any money, though. Only thing I won was the ability to brag about it to you that I was off by a point. Kind of goes back to what I was saying yesterday on the pregame show, which is this is who the Bills are. This is the kind of team that you have to know who you are, right? Know who you are in life, man. Know who you are. I don't care if you're a employee, employer, father, son, husband, dad, mom, wife, girlfriend, sister, mother-in-law, doesn't matter. Know who you are in life, man. And I think that's why I predicted 24-10 Bills. That's why they won 24-9. This is who they are. This is who the Buffalo Bills are, what you saw yesterday. And that's translated to 6-2 right now after the win. We're going to talk a lot about that today. Welcome into the Extra Point Show. My name is Sal Capaccio. Good to be here with you. John Simon producing your phone calls. We do it every Monday at this time, 10 to 12. It's a Buffalo football Monday. After me, it's Murph and Steve Tasker on One Bills Live. Then it's Shopin' the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. We got Micah Hyde later today on with Shopin' the Bulldog. We got Sean McDermott down at the stadium with the coordinators. I'll be down there. So it's all Bills all day on a Monday. And why not? Because, hey, Buffalo, your Bills are 6-2 since the first time, for the first time, since many of you listening were born, and or I guess many of you just were very young and like me, maybe just starting out in college or grade school. It's been a long time, 26 years. I know a lot of people remember it clearly, though. The last Super Bowl year, 1993, was the last time. Pretty crazy. We're going to talk about all of that. As usual, no guests, no interviews, just your phone calls. I'm really excited to hear from you today. Really am. Want to hear what you thought about this win, what you think about this team. If you have any questions for me, I'll answer them gladly. You'll get my opinions and thoughts, but I'm more interested in yours right now at 803-0550, 888-550-2550. That's what we do. The rules of the show are this. The rules of the show are you call, I take your call, you have something insightful to say or ask. Make a solid contribution. That way, I don't have to worry about having guests or interviews to fill up time. I want to hear from you. But you got to make it worthwhile. That's what we do every Monday. That's what we've done for the last couple years here. And I think it's been a great way to go about a reaction show on a Monday. I will get to sit up and stand down later in the program. I'll get to my Hey Buddy segment. It's become a thing around town. I went to the Sabres game the other night. Had people in the hallway and the corridors going, Hey Buddy, I got you. You listen, you know. So I appreciate that. We'll do all of that a little bit later. But first, let me throw some names at you. Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Bruce Smith. Those are just some of the names on the Buffalo Bills the last time this team started a season 6-2, back in 1993. It's been 26 years since the franchise has been in this position. Now, they're not perfect by any means. We know that. I'm going to get calls on that today. No one's going to mistake this group for those Hall of Fame players, right? There's good players in this team. We're not talking about Jim Kelly's, Thurman Thomas's, Andre Reed's, and Bruce Smith's. That's not the point here. But the point is, so far, through the first half of the 2019 season, this team, this collection of players, they've taken care of business. With their only losses coming to the Patriots and Eagles. The teams who've won the last two Super Bowls, by the way, and have three Super Bowl appearances between each other over the last couple of years. Now, of course, the Bills' wins haven't exactly come against the heavyweights of the NFL this year. In fact, the Bills have played the easiest schedule in the league through the first half of the year, with their opponents having only a .328 winning percentage. But, as I've stated many times, that's not the Bills' problem. That doesn't matter. They didn't pick their schedule. It was given to them back in April. They played the one that the NFL said, this is who you play and when. This isn't college football. No one's getting into a room today or yesterday, last night, coming up with rankings and telling you where you fit and if you're going to make the playoffs or not based on a bunch of people's opinions because of who you played and who your schedule is. And because you're in some sort of conference that doesn't play better competition, you're going to get left out. That's not how this works in the NFL. The Bills have beaten the teams they're supposed to beat, according to those records that I just referred to, the .328 winning percentage. That's a sign of a well-coached team, taking care of business, doing what you're supposed to do. Now, after this game yesterday, I don't really get on social media much after the game. During the game, I can't. I'm on the field. After the game, I basically have to do some work. I'm in the locker room doing interviews. I go home. I write my column. And I kind of just decompress, spend some time with the family. But I do check in. I like to read some of the comments, what you were saying. A lot of Bills fans still upset, even complaining about how the Bills won this game. Not having a 300-yard passer again. Not scoring more than 24 points. Not beating a 1-7 team by more than they did and just crushing them and putting them into the ground. And I guess winning by 50 or 60. I don't know. So you can look at it how you want. That's fine. Here's a reality check for you, though, if you want to do that. All right, let me just put this in perspective so at least you can understand. You can be upset with 24 points. You can be upset with only 169 yards passing. You can be as skeptical as you want. That's fine. I'm talking about yesterday's game, though. The Bills did beat the Redskins, by the way, by more than they were expected to, according to the smart people in Las Vegas that build really, really big casinos because of the money they make. The Bills were favored by 10. They won by that and a half of that. They won by 15. 1.5 times the spread. How about this? The Redskins' point differential for the season coming into the game was negative 12 points per game. That was their average, third worst in the league. They were getting beat by teams, an average of 12 points per game. The Bills beat them by 15. The Bills actually blew the Redskins out. In the NFL, 15 points, that's a blowout. You don't win games in the NFL by more than two touchdowns generally. They played the exact game we should expect from them by now. Know who you are, especially against an inferior opponent. And what is that game? To play excellent defense, not give up many points while scoring enough points on offense, not pulling away and struggling to be consistent on that side of the ball. That's who they are. And so far, who they are and how they've gone about this has gotten them to 6-2. Now, let's look ahead. The team's coming up on the Bills' schedule. The next several, they also don't have good records. In fact, The next three opponents have a combined 6-19 record right now. Cleveland, Miami, Denver. But in that group, there's going to be plenty of challenges. I mean, starting next week at the Cleveland Browns, tons of talent. Even though they're 2-6, I mean, lots of people picked them to win their division this year. Some even picked them to go to the Super Bowl. We know what they have. Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb. Coming into this week's game, the Browns had averaged 5.56 yards per run. Best in the entire league. And given the Bills' struggles against the run the last couple weeks, that's certainly going to be a challenge. Then it's the Dolphins. And then the Broncos, who both, by the way, looked good Sunday in wins. The Broncos did beat the Browns. The Dolphins did beat the Jets, but they played well. Now look, these are all winnable games for the Bills. Chances to build even further on their 6-2 record and keep inching toward a playoff spot. And maybe they win them all. Maybe they go 2-1. Maybe we're sitting here at 8-3 after 11 games, and we're still having the complaints and the skepticism and the who did they play. You could keep saying that as long as you want. If you keep saying that into January and they're in the playoffs, I'm good. I'm good. You can keep doing it. That's fine. Have at it. I'm good. If the Bills were to get their seventh win next week, whenever they really do it, it will actually exceed what Vegas odds makers had them pegged at for the entire season. Their over-under was 6.5, maybe 7 in some places. So you can keep telling everyone how the Bills haven't played anyone good. That's fine. You can keep citing passing statistics or the run defense or whatever holes you want to find to pick them apart. I'm not here to tell you they don't have them. I'm here to tell you that's right. They do have them. They're not one of the quote-unquote better teams in the league when you watch them with the eye test. That's fine. You have plenty of ammunition to use if you want to go down that road. That's cool. That's your right. That's why I'm here. That's why we do a show today. Or you could also take a look at the standings. You can realize that this team is 6-2. And oh, by the way, a full 2 games up in the wild card race. And then maybe you can enjoy the second half ride. Although it might get a little rocky and intense, it's going to be fun. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. It's been a fun season so far to get to 6 wins. A lot of you are still frustrated with a lot of the ways that they're doing it. I say, if you keep doing it that way and you get to 10 or 11 or whatever and you make the playoffs, I'm good. Then you hopefully things break your way in the playoffs. Maybe you can win a game. Maybe you don't. And then all of you can say, see, I told you. Yep. Made the playoffs. One of 6 teams in the conference. Then you continue to build on what you build on, have draft picks, have salary cap space, which they have all of, and see where it goes. I'm good. How about you? Let's go Mike in New Jersey. Hi, Mike. Let's start us off here on the Extra Point Show. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Sal. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I'm not so big on how we win games, but, I really like the fact that we have 6-2 record, but the fact that we lost, you know, we had 2 games which we have played against better teams and we lost them, like, you know, we lost both of them. And then how we could not get 5 yards on 4 tries against New England. So that scares me a little bit. So I think the upcoming game against Cleveland, we should be able to beat them, right? If we don't beat them, then there's no guarantee that we'll be able to beat, like, Steelers.
There's no guarantee you can win any game. There's no guarantee you can beat the Dolphins. There's no guarantee ever.
Thank you. Yeah, and another point is, like, I know we have a lot of, free cap space on the, you know, all the offseason and the draft picks, whatever. But, you know, how the teams have been able to run against us in the offseason. I mean, the last 2 games, sorry.
Yep.
I just think, like, I don't know if I trust the ability of Sean McDermott's, led staff to pick a good players. Because we picked Ed Oliver, and he hasn't been seen anywhere. And he was 7th overall pick. I mean, I mean, is that normal for us not to see any contribution from this guy? I mean, he's only 270 pounds, and he's going on.
He's more of a penetrator. Everybody told you that coming out of the draft. You'd like him to be better against the run. But can I just offer this, Mike? He's still a rookie, and he's played eight NFL games. Can we not? Can we at least give it a little time to breathe on that? A little bit.
Yeah, sure. But
I mean, everybody wants Hall of Fame players immediately. I get it. I mean, this league is loaded with first-round picks that aren't making contributions or people are questioning it. I agree with you. I'd like to see more from him. There's no doubt. But I also know that he's played eight NFL games, man. I mean, he didn't play much yesterday, by the way, and I'm guessing that's partly why, that, he hasn't played all that great, especially against the run. And they needed more beef. They needed more size. They called Vincent Taylor up from the practice squad. They signed him. They still got run on really bad in the first half yesterday. Shut it down the second half. It's okay. Ed Oliver was signed or was drafted in 2019 as a rookie. He has a four-year rookie contract and a fifth-year option. He's a young player. He's a rookie. He's played eight NFL games. And, it's fine. You want to say he hasn't played great? That's right. You're right about that. But it's not an indictment on his career and what it's going to be. Let's go to Shane in New Jersey. Hi, Shane. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. I thought you've made some really good points so far. I'm 25, so I guess I've never, 2 years ago was the first time I really witnessed the playoff game. But just a couple points. First, I wish the trade deadline was next week, after being run on two times in a row. I would have been interested to see if we made another move for a D tackle after two performances like that. And I think the second half, the defense, run defense was better because the Redskins decided to start running the ball outside. And obviously, time was a factor too. But they weren't really running the ball up the middle too much from what I remember, which is where we were getting gashed. But, on McDermott and the play calling and, I guess Dable, I don't think it's Dable's fault. You kind of made the good points about, knowing who they are. And I think McDermott's really kind of pulling back the reins on Dable when we have the lead. He's kind of saying, hey, defense got it. Just don't make a mistake. Don't make a turnover. And for me, that's starting to get frustrated. I'm a big McDermott fan. I love what he does. I coach in college. And I believe, all the culture stuff that he's preaching. But I just think it's going to catch up to us. And I would love to see us win a game in the playoffs. And I just like to see the offense kind of take control, because with the exception of last week and then the Patriots games when we needed or when Barkley was in, every time we've needed a score, we've scored. So it's just kind of frustrating to see, us pull back the reins and not keep going, because I think that's going to catch up with us later in a game when we do need a score and we've taken our foot off the pedal. And, we're just not going to be able to score.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's a good, thing that you're skeptical for a good reason, right? I mean, they haven't shown necessarily that ability to put the foot down when they have to, when they need to, Shane. I agree with you. I don't know. I'm not in the meetings. And I'm not on the headset, obviously, if Sean McDermott's telling Brian Dable to pull it back a little bit or, how they want to play a game. I do think that, they know who they are. They want to win more with defense and limiting their mistakes. Their mistakes have cost them in games like the New England game. You could argue that the mistakes they made on offense cost them the game. The mistake they made on offense almost cost them against a winless Bengals team. So there's no doubt about that. I would love to see the offense put up more points, perform better. I do think, though, it's a product of they know who they are, and they don't want to be, and they're not trying to be anybody they're not. And sometimes that can lead you to, at some point, you got to get out of character. At some point, you got to make a play. And we haven't seen them have to do that. Well, I guess against New England, they weren't able to. Against the Eagles, the game was kind of over already. So I share your thoughts on that. It's fair. Let's go to Bill in Indiana. Hi, Bill. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks so much for taking the call. I should probably send you a check today instead of going to a therapist. I'm just going to call you.
Oh, I appreciate that. This is group therapy. It's okay, but it's much more better therapy after a win.
It doggone right is. So you hit on most of my points. The thing that I'm excited about is 6-2. You beat the teams you need to beat. You have all the money left this year. You have the money next year. You have all the draft picks. And you're not going to just make silly, overpay decisions to just make a splash. They're trying to build it right. They know who they are. So the thing that bothers me is the kind of condescension of some of the fans with the, if you don't win 40-3 against this team, you're the type of fan that just doesn't want the team to be a Super Bowl contender. You just don't know modern football, yada, yada, yada. And the thing that I disagree with on that is, let's say on the goal line where I was as frustrated as anybody, they can't get in, they can't get in, they finally just get in. In that situation against this team at home, a game you're probably going to win, is it possible that McDermott, Dable, whoever, was just saying, I want to see if get in from the one. I want to see if get in, you know, a la the Chargers not being able to against somebody a couple weeks ago. Just, I want to see who we have on that line. I want to get in. I wasn't giddy about the calls, and I don't think if it was a critical Patriots game late in the year, I don't think maybe we would do those exact things. But it's always about McDermott doesn't want to throw a 22-yard pass. Dable wants to run Gore, not the faster Singletary, because of a personality flaw. And that's the part I just don't get.
What do you mean by a personality flaw?
When I hear stuff like, well, they're not using Singletary because Gore is a type of guy they like.
Well, I just think it's game plan. You go into a game and you say, if we're going to be down in that spot, this is what we think is going to work best with this personnel. So, I mean, that's a game plan thing. Now, look, I think what you're saying has validity to it, Bill. And I think from this standpoint, I'll say it this way. A lot of times, and I think what might have been happening yesterday, I don't know this, I think what might have been happening yesterday was, I think the coaching staff was challenging that offensive line. They were challenging them. That's a good defensive front. That's got first-round picks all over the place over there. I think they were challenging them. And unfortunately, they weren't up to the challenge for three plays. And they're going to go and they're going to say, why? What did we do wrong? What do we need to do better? Who do we need to see wasn't, you know, doing anything, doing their job? There were plays, there was another short yardage that guys got pushed back. The line of scrimmage went the other way. So I think there's validity to your point on what you're saying as far as how they want to do it, know who you are. But I think it goes even a little more beyond that, which is I think they challenged their offensive line. And unfortunately, in that situation, the offensive line didn't rise up to the challenge.
No, that's exactly right. And because we want to go to the next level ASAP, I'd rather be there tomorrow than in a year. But because of that, you have to know we desperately need a right guard, or we have to mortgage the farm on a right tackle, whatever it is. I was listening to some of the analysis about some open players the last couple weeks that Allen was missing, you know, he wasn't seeing down the field. So if some guys are open based on the analytics and he's not seeing them, if you get another target right now and mortgage the farm for another guy he just doesn't see yet, what good does that do? Let's save our powder, get it ready, make the right choice, and enjoy the ride the rest of the way this year, too, at the same time.
Yeah, Bill, they're trying to build it with a big picture in mind. Thank you for the call. Good call. I agree with a lot of what you said. And even if he does see him, per se, I mean, how much, you know, does that translate into a playoff win? Maybe, I don't know. I just think they know who they are, and they know they're not a Super Bowl contender right now, but they can still get to the playoffs with the roster they have and keep building this thing and keep improving, and that's who they are right now and how they want to build. And if you want to criticize that, that's fine. Again, I ask, what is your expectation? What was your expectation? What do you expect on a weekly basis? Yesterday during the network pregame show, I said, you can't expect this team to get the 30 points. It's just not who they are. I had a couple people on social media come after me and say, that's ridiculous. One even accused me of saying, how can you say we should be happy with that? I never said you should be happy with that. But you should at least know who you are. That's the theme of today's show, if you haven't got it, right? I've said it 10 times. Know who you are. Know who your team is. They know who they are. They know who their team is. They're trying to win games based on that, based on how they're built. And every game has a different DNA. Every game has a different game plan. And as long as they don't, I mean, they're managing the game on offense. That's really what they're doing. Sure, it'd be nice to have the big play. We all miss it. We'd love to see it. I think that's something that they have not been good on at all, that they have to get better on, and we have to see. But they know, I give the coaching staff a lot of credit for knowing who they are and designing game plans around that. Can it catch up to you because You're not good. No matter how good you are or how average you are, at some point, it's going to catch up to you, right? If you're not that good, if you're designing the game plan, let me start that over. If you're designing the game plan around a team that, quite frankly, isn't as talented as a lot of the other teams in the league, and you're trying to, you know, keep it a little bit closer to the vest, win lower scoring games, at some point, it's going to catch up to you because you're not going to have the day you want against a team like Philly, maybe, and you can't score. I get that. But again, look at the schedule. Look at the teams they're playing. There are some good running backs and good running games coming up. That can scare you. I get it. But keep knowing who you are and keep winning games like that. And if we're having this discussion in January, what's the problem? There shouldn't be one. This city was starved for a playoff berth for 17 years. All we talked about every single day right here on the radio. All people wrote about playoff drought. This team is on the path to the playoffs. I know they broke the drought 2 years ago. One time in 19 years. I guess 18, right? This team, the Buffalo Bills have been in the playoffs. They have a clear path to get there right now the way they're doing it. And some people just don't like the way they're doing it. I don't get that. Okay. If that's your thing, it's not mine. Mine is, am I playing football in January? That's my thing. Am I broadcasting a game from the sidelines in January? Don't care how you get me there. Just get me there. While everybody else is covering locker cleanout day on Monday after the season ends, because I've done that a lot, while everybody else is doing that, I'm looking over my notes on whoever the next opponent is. That's a win for me. That's good. That's what I want. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Give me a call here on the Extra Point Show. And by the way, got a couple of games coming up where I know a lot of Bills fans are going to be at. You're going to be out there, you're going to be tailgating. And when you are, you got to go get yourself some Country Sweet sauce, right? Go grab a bottle or three of Country Sweet. It is my one-and-done cooking sauce. It is great on anything you're making at your tailgate, whether that's hamburgers, steak, I don't care, stir-fry, pizza, doesn't matter. Dip it, marinate it, pour it on, however you want to do it. I've had several of you listening tweet me over the last couple weeks about how you finally, for the first time, tried Country Sweet and how much you loved it. And I've been telling you for years that that would be the case. So go buy some, look for the red label at your local grocery store. Mild hot barbecue, three different bottles, three different flavors. Buy them all. Try them all. Have people over for the holidays. Take them to your tailgate. You're going to Cleveland next week. You're going to Miami the week after that. You're going to Pittsburgh in December, whatever it is. Home games. Take it to the tailgate. Holiday season. Thanksgiving. Christmas. Country Sweet. Look for the red label. Mild hot barbecue. Buy a bottle. Buy three. We always know. It's all about the sauce with Country Sweet. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Your phone calls on the way on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We changed up our defense a little bit, started playing a lot more 8-man box, really played a lot of man, just so we can have gaps on defense and guys being able to pound their gaps. And so great decision by the coaches, and they had a great game plan coming in. Early on, we struggled trying to stop the run. Adrian Peterson is one of the best running backs to ever do it, so credit to him and those guys up front, but we figured stuff out in the second half.
Yeah, he was, he's amazing to watch, Adrian Peterson. I mean, I don't care about his age. He didn't seem like he was old to me comparatively, but he just looked like he was great. Some of the things he can do. By the way, Devin Singletary, same way, but that was Jordan Poyer talking about Adrian Peterson. What I mean by Devin Singletary, same way, some of the moves he makes in the hole, the vision he has is incredible, but man, Adrian Peterson still has it. It was fun to watch him. Not so fun to watch him in the first half, what he was doing, though, to the Bills' defense. My goodness. First half for Adrian Peterson. 10 carries, 101 yards. Oh, my God. Here we go again. Second half for Adrian Peterson. On the third play of the half, he had 8 yards. After that, negative yardage the rest of the game. Pretty amazing. They did a great job in the adjustment. You just heard Jordan Poyer right there talk about that, the adjustment, more eight-man boxes. I just saw more guys rallying to football. I saw more guys in gaps, stopping him, and then help coming quicker. That's what I saw. After his first run of the, well, it might have been the second run, but after that, the third play of the half, when Adrian Peterson gained 8 yards and he was up to 109 at that point, here are the yardages of his runs the rest of the game. Negative 3, 0, 4, 0, 0, negative 2. I don't know what it was. He's schemed there, 8 guys in the box, more man-to-man defense to commit more guys to the run in front of him. Whatever it was, it worked. Hey, did you miss my Facebook Live segment on Sunday before the game? You can't miss it every week. I got a Facebook Live over at the WGR Facebook page. It's brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys. They work hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers like you. I mean, when you're injured at work, your employer and their insurance company have their attorneys working for them from the day you get injured. That's why you shouldn't do anything alone. You need a hardworking team, and a hardworking team at Losi and Ganji works hard for you and your family. They work so hard that their clients receive the maximum settlement that they can get, and they make sure that even the small details are handled properly, from making sure you're receiving your weekly benefits and your medical treatments to making sure you get your settlement. For workers' comp and personal injury, call Losi and Ganji, 854-1446, or go online, losi-ganji.com. Losi and Ganji, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers and a big Buffalo sports family, by the way. They love their Buffalo sports. Losi and Ganji. Good local people are going to work hard for you. Give them a call. Paul and Kenmore. Hi, Paul. You're on the Extra Point Show. What's up?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
A few things. First, I know you said the Bills have played the easiest schedule up this so far right now. And I think the next two teams on that list, and correct me if I'm wrong, are New England and San Francisco.
That is correct. That's a great observation. New England.
Not bad.
New England is, obviously, after last night, they're 8-1. San Francisco's undefeated. And they are the only other two teams in the league whose winning percentage of their opponents is under 400.
And also, I'm really excited about this game, Cleveland. I'm wondering your opinion on Cleveland. I see as like a 2.5-point favorite.
Yep.
Do you think that's because of the opponents the Bills have played compared to the opponents Cleveland has played?
You know, I think it might be some of it. I think generally the biggest reason why, Paul, is I think people they understand that Cleveland has a lot of talent and they've underachieved and they haven't put it together. And I think people think the Bills have maybe overachieved with their record, but because of their opponents, you know, how good really are they? Plus, it's in Cleveland. Now, remember, home team generally gets 3 points. If the Bills are 2.5, you say, I haven't looked as of today. If they're 2.5, that means on a neutral field, they're saying the Bills would be a half-point favorite. So I think the odds makers are saying it's an even game, but it's in Cleveland, so we'll lean towards them. But I think it's really more about Cleveland and the fact that most people think they've underachieved, but they have all that talent.
And I also thought at the end of the game was really cool of Frank Gore to slap Adrian Peterson on the shoulder and introduce him to Devin Singletary. I thought that was a class act, and Frank Gore is a class act. Thanks, Al.
Yeah, thank you. It was a really cool moment for Devin Singletary to hear that from Adrian Peterson, tell him, you know, to keep going. He's great. Whatever he said to him was pretty cool. If you saw that, there was a few accounts on social media. Some of the reporters on the TV side covered that, had it on there, so that's pretty cool. I don't know if the Bills account had it. I have to check on that, but you can find it if you search for it. 803-0550, 888-552-550. John and Cheektowaga, what's going on? You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hi, Sal. Yeah, I'm a guy like you who's glass half full.
Yeah, I am. I'm half full. Look, I do not dismiss, you know, problems or mistakes or questions. Those are all valid. There's no doubt about it. But, man, it's 6-2 in the NFL. That's a really stinking good record. I don't care who you are. You know what I mean, John?
Yeah, I mean, coming off 6-10, and then to hear people, oh, geez, what are you going to do? I mean, it's amazing that after all the years of mediocrity, we sneak in the playoffs thanks to Cincinnati's quarterback a couple of years ago, and yet people were criticized. You know, I happened to listen to another station for a few minutes, and all they said was, oh, they're not playing. Come on, give us a break.
By the way, again, I want to remind everybody, John, what I said at the top of the show. They did win by 15 points. Yeah. They did beat the point spread and then another half of the point spread. Like, they actually won the game by most people who the outside observers said that they would win by.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, before I called, I was thinking about what they're saying. I thought I was going to talk about how they shut down.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
You covered it. So it's,
yeah, what did you think about that, though? I mean, go ahead. You can give your thoughts. Adrian Peterson.
When they had that bad team all those years, they'd always say, why don't they make adjustments at halftime? Well, obviously, they're figuring that out now.
Well, and I'll say this, John. It's the easy thing for fans to say, but a lot of times you just can't do it. You can make all the adjustments you want. If your players aren't good enough, it won't matter.
Yeah, you know, Leslie Frazier, he could get a head coaching job out of there.
Leslie Frazier is a heck of a defensive coordinator. He is a really good head coach, a defensive coordinator. And you're right. I mean, he interviewed in Indy a couple years ago. Frank Reich got the job. I think he could put himself in another position to do that again.
Yeah, I hope he does. So, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. And that's a good thing, by the way. If you have coordinators on your staff that are getting head coaching looks, that's a good thing. You don't want to lose guys if they're good. I get it. But that means your team is pretty good. That means they're doing a good job. That means the rest of the league recognizes that they're basically doing a great job with their unit, maybe even overachieving. Kevin, down in Fredonia. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, I want to agree with you, Sal, when you said that the Bills are winning games. It doesn't matter how you win the game as long as they're doing it.
Well, again, for me, it's more about, Kev, they know who they are, and that's how they're designing to win games. And I think that speaks to good coaching and good preparation. They're not trying to be someone they're not. We'd like them to be a different team sometimes. I understand that. I would, too. But they're not trying to do that. They're just trying to win the game with the talent they have and the best way for them to do it.
Which I agree with. But my real question is, with the Patriots' loss last night and their schedule upcoming after their bye, they have a pretty tough schedule. Does this open up the division any with the Bills having a somewhat easier schedule besides the Ravens and the Cowboys? And
well, let's take a look at it. Let's say they have a bye week next week. The Bills go to Cleveland. I think you'd need to get that one if you want to have this discussion. Let's just give it to the Bills right now just for our purposes here. All right, Kevin, and let's just say they win that game. I know that's not going to be easy, but let's just do it. So the Bills go then to 7-2. So now you get the Patriots go to the Eagles the next week, and the Bills go to the Dolphins. That game could actually flip the division if the Eagles were to beat the Patriots and the Bills were to beat the Dolphins.
Yeah, and the following week, I believe either the Texans or the Cowboys.
The Cowboys then go to New England, and then they go to the Texans, and then the Chiefs go to New England with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, so I kind of somewhat believe that it could be open if the Bills get their wins with the Broncos and the Dolphins and the Jets.
I agree with you. You know, it goes Browns, Dolphins, Broncos. But here's the thing, too. A week from tomorrow, I think it'll be maybe a week from today, Kevin, we're going to find out if that Bills-Patriots game gets flexed to a Saturday. Right now it's on Sunday, week 16. They're one of five games that could go to Saturday. They're going to choose three of them. And that game could really be big on the schedule the way it's starting to look.
It sure will.
All right, buddy, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I don't blame anybody for starting to think about that a little bit. Like, is the division in play? They're one loss behind, and they play them. The Bills are one loss behind the Patriots, and they play New England. And, oh, by the way, they outplayed them the first time they played them, but they lost. I don't blame anybody for starting to think like that. But the Cleveland Browns are going to be a big challenge, and they have to get past that game. That's a big game for the Bills. They can, A, get to 7-2, B, close the gap to a half game with the Patriots, and C, bury the Browns in the AFC. They're already pretty buried. You could really shut the door on them. Put the proverbial nail in the coffin. Let's go to Ken in Hamburg. Hi, Ken.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for my call.
You're welcome.
I agree with you when, you know, like I said, I'm 28, and I've been watching the Bills, you know, my whole life. But, you know, we're actually winning. You know, most of the seasons they lose. But, yeah, you know, we're actually winning games. But, and I called because I wanted to ask you, you know, I want to know why Josh Allen runs the ball so much. You know, I was watching Lamar Jackson yesterday. You know, he's not Lamar Jackson. You know, like last when he played the Eagles, he ran the ball more than Singletary got the ball. Yeah, I just don't understand why.
Design runs or scrambles? Because, I mean, it scrambles. You, obviously, if there's nothing there, you know, he's going to try and pick up yardage, obviously.
No, I understand that. No, they're making play calls for him to run the ball.
They do, and you know what? I've heard this. Here's the thing for me. I'm okay with it, to be honest with you. I think it's fair that you don't like it, to be honest with you. I'm okay with it because even though he's not Lamar Jackson, pretty much no human being is. He's still good at it, and he can run the ball well, and I think the biggest issue I have is his ball security when he runs, but I don't mind Josh Allen running. It gives you an extra guy that can help block. He's big enough, strong enough, and athletic enough. What I would like to see, though, is more runs in short yardage and not as many runs maybe if you need five or six. Not that that happened, because then if you just get the yard or two, you can either get out of bounds or get down. And hey, I'll be honest with you, Ken, I mean, I don't think anybody complained when he ran for a touchdown against the Jets or ran for a touchdown against the Giants, right? I mean, when it works out, everyone's pretty happy with it.
All right, and I agree with that, but I don't know. There's a lot of injury prones are a lot. You know, I just watched Patrick Mahomes go down. I mean, we're striving for a playoff spot.
You're right.
You know,
you're right.
We don't need him getting hurt.
You're right. I would tell you this though, Ken. You have just as much, if not more, of a chance for your quarterback getting hurt by being in the pocket. It's the way it goes. There are actually statistics done on this. I don't have them in front of me. There are statistics done on this that show quarterbacks and injuries, and they basically happen from in the pocket more than they do running. So, I know it doesn't seem like that, but that's the case. The quarterbacks that are statues that just stand there, they're the ones that get hit and hurt. Josh Allen did get hurt once this year. Yep, he went out of a game, went to concussion protocol. I'm okay with him running. I think it's part of their offense, and it needs to be because he's a weapon and you can use it. I think it has to be in smart situations. But the volume of it, 8 carries a game, is not too much for me. That's good. That's okay. I'm okay with that right there. I think he has to be smarter, and the biggest issue I have is ball security when he runs. 803-0550-888-550-2550 here on WGR. We're taking more of your phone calls on the way. Before I do that, I want to tell you about my friends over at Excelsior Orthopedics Express, because if you're physically active, like me, you still like to get out. I have a 5-year-old son, do a lot of active things with him. I was just at a birthday party this week. We were jumping around, bouncing, things like that. But you know what? At my age, sometimes, something can happen and I need to go see somebody. So when I do, I make sure I go see my friends at Excelsior Orthopedics Express. You can too. It's never been easier, quicker, or less expensive to get the care you need. Excelsior Orthopedics Express has changed the way you receive care for injuries to muscles, bones, and joints. You can skip the ER or General Urgent Care Center and see a specialist right away. It's one stop, one copay, and you walk out with everything you need. That's imaging, casting, splints. They have all of it. Open weekdays and evenings, also Saturdays. Excelsior Orthopedics Express is on Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Niagara Falls Boulevard near the airport, and their newest location is serving the South Towns off Miles Strip near the 219, right there in Orchard Park near the stadium. Call 250-9999 to minimize your wait and get the care you need at Excelsior Orthopedics Express.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The adjustment was to not let him run the ball and get yards. As simple as that. You know, it's some, what if we got outside the gaps or whatever in the first half, you know. You guys are always going to hear this from us. Most of the time, obviously, you got to give them credit. You know, when credit's due, he was running hard. They were doing a great job. At the end of the day, you know, it's kind of about us just getting out of our gaps once again. We'll continue to work on it. We'll continue to try to fine tune it. But like I said, I'm done apologizing for ugly wins. It's a win. We're 6-2. This time last year, we were 2-6.
I actually followed that up with Micah. I said, Micah, it wasn't an ugly win, though. Like, that was not an ugly win. It was just a win. It was, hey, it took care of business. But I do feel, and I understand, I hear it. I do this show that people call it that. They think that. They don't like the way they won. Who cares? I mean, who cares? Yeah, you want the team to look good and feel good about what they're doing. But I didn't think yesterday was ugly in any regard. I thought they had some issues at certain times that they could have been better at. I didn't think yesterday was an ugly win. They won by 15 points. They held the Redskins to 9. They were still 3-4 in the red zone. They had one horrible sequence at the goal line that got them back 20 yards, and another one where it took them 4 downs to get in the end zone after running the same play 3 straight times. Other than that, I thought they played a good game overall. All right, 10:53 here on the Extra Point Show. You know how I know what time it is? because I got my awesome Movado watch here from Firth Jewelers. You can get a great watch and anything else you're looking for as far as jewelry is concerned at Firth Jewelers. A huge collection of watches that reflect your unique personality, from fashion watches like my Movado to sports watches featuring your favorite Buffalo and football hockey teams. They even have a new line of Harley-Davidson watches, ladies and men's, for bike riders and fans to wear no matter the season or occasion. Now, Firth features one of the largest single-store collections of watches, jewelry, and loose diamonds in all of Western New York, all at Firth-friendly savings. So for all the moments of your life, go forth to Firth. They're just north of the Falls Fashion Outlets on Military Road. Get your watch from Firth like I did. You're going to be a Firth fan, too. More Buffalo big sports fans. Go in and talk to Mike and Tom. Talk to them about the Bills, the Sabres. They'll love to chat with you and set you up with some really nice jewelry, by the way. Great prices. Jack in Lockport, you're up next on the Extra Point Show. What's up?
Hi, Sal.
Hello.
Hey, you were just talking to a guy about what I wanted to talk about, Josh Allen running the ball on designed run. And I heard you say that you're okay with it.
I am.
And you cited some statistics. You said more quarterbacks get hurt in the pocket than running. Well, that's true because the majority of quarterbacks don't run the ball. They stay in the pocket. So, of course, the statistics are going to say they get hurt more in the pocket than they do running. That makes total sense.
But I got it. Oh, sure. But I still think that taking a shot while standing stationary is still a very, very big injury risk compared to running the football.
We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is the risk that is incurred by doing that. And I know you also said that, okay, we got more guys. The quarterback's the 12th or 11th guy. I got more guys running the power sweep.
Yep.
Well, then put a running back at quarterback, and you'll still have the same amount of guys.
But you don't have the same threat against it. That's not how it works. You can do that. That's called the wildcat. People do that, or the direct snap. But then you don't have the same threat because teams aren't going to respect the pass. When the quarterback's at quarterback, they have to watch for the pass, and then you can run.
I'm not talking about the threat. I'm talking about the possibility of losing this quarterback who's just...
You are talking about the threat. You just said that. I'm telling you, you still have to dictate to the defense what you want to do. If you put a running back at quarterback, they're not going to respect the pass. But yes, your other point is separate, and I understand what you're saying.
Yes, but this guy, we've been...
Okay, so what do you want, Mike? How many times do you want him to run? Ever? Never?
No, my name is Jack.
Sorry about that. I have Mike next on hold. I'm sorry.
Okay, what he needs to run, like a naked bootleg or some safe thing.
So he has nobody there blocking for him instead. You'd rather have that.
Well, the reason you run a bootleg is because there's nobody out there. And yes, he's a big guy and he can protect himself, but not running through the middle of the line like he does on the power sweeps.
But the power sweep is not through the middle. It's a sweep.
Yeah, I understand what it is.
Okay. Well, you didn't go. He is not up the middle, though.
Okay, it's off tackle.
Right. And by the way, he did run a bootleg yesterday, and as soon as he had a play action where he pulled it out, there was a defender staring him right in the face, and he juked him. He had a great move, by the way. But there was a guy standing right there, cleanly unblocked.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that because that's part of the game. But
oh, my gosh. Come on, listen to yourself for a second. You're totally okay with a defender staring him straight in the face with no blocker, but you're not okay with him running with three blockers in front of him.
A designed run that's going to get tackled, so we don't need to expose our quarterback in that situation.
I think it's about balance here. I think it's about balance here, Jack. That's what it is. Look, the fact is you're right. You can get hurt in a lot of different ways as a quarterback. You can get hurt running. You can get hurt standing in the pocket. The key is to find the right balance, all right? And look, I mean, Lamar Jackson is great at what he does, but I'll be honest, like, I think he could very well get hurt. I agree with that. Like, they run him so much. And oh, by the way, he's also a skinny guy. He doesn't have, you know, he's not built like Josh Allen necessarily. But to me, Jack, it's just about balance, knowing when you can do it, doing it in smart situations. Like I said, do it in short yardage. He can get down. Do it at the goal line. He can just get to the pylon. Then you're not exposed in the open field as much, and you know, you can do those things. So
yes,
I understand the trepidation from fans like you. I do. But I also think you have a very good athletic big quarterback. You can use him to help you win football games in that regard.
Yeah, they did that in Philadelphia with Cunningham for a while. And how long did he last? He made it about 4 or 5 years, right?
I mean, he had a pretty good career. I mean, I don't know. That's a long time ago when The hold on 1 second. Let's remember, Jack, though, the rules are way different now too. I mean, guys, you touch the quarterback, they get, you know, they get flagged. So I mean, I think that helps teams understand that they can run. By the way, Randall Cunningham played over 15 years.
Oh, okay.
16. He played 16 years in the league. All right?
Okay. So we just let our quarterback run all the time. I'm not saying all the time, but expose him more than you should. And then when he gets hurt, we'll just say, oh, we'll get another guy in there.
But I'm not saying that. Why are you being condescending?
Because that's what it sounds like.
I just explained to you it's about balance. It's about doing it right, not doing it a lot, finding the right time. You don't, there's no need to be condescending when I just explained that to you very politely.
Right. I'm sorry if I made it sound like I was condescending.
Yeah, you were. Absolutely. That's okay. Thanks. I appreciate the call. All right, let's go on to Tom in Fort Erie. Hi, Tom. You're on WGR. Oh, shoot. I got to get to it. You know what, Tom? Can you hold through the break real quick? I'll be right back with you, okay? I got to do that. That call went a little bit longer than I thought. So let's do that, and we'll come back here. I got to take a timeout. All right, let's regroup here, shall we? Thanks a lot. Sal Capaccio on the Extra Point Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.